All right. Luke chapter 1. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zechariah of the course of Abijah. And his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the ordinances, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. And we talked about that, about righteousness and blameless. Blameless, again, you got to hear this. Blameless means that you are blameless by his act and you have lost, there are no credible witnesses against you. And so everything is dependent on your understanding of that. The only warfare has nothing to do with anything going on outside of you. The warfare is in here. And we're going to see that in a minute in a new way. And they were, and they had no child because that Elizabeth was barren, and both were now well stricken in years. Now, barren is the word steria, which means hard, firm, and therefore sterile. There are two kinds. There's here in Luke when it's talking about barrenness, in it, but there's also spiritual barrenness. And let's go to Isaiah 54. Sing, O barren, thou that did not bear, break forth into singing and cry aloud, thou that did not travail with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. Now, remember when it says over and over that Israel shall be, in terms of numbers, as the grains of sand on the coast of the seas, and shall be in number greater than the stars of the sky. Now, that's, what the hell does that mean? I don't know how the Jews go get that one, because Judaism has always been very small, percentage-wise. But from God's standpoint, every sperm cell that a man has and gets rid of, every sperm cell is a potential for Israel. And so that's the only way that it can be as the number of the seas, I mean stars in the sky and the numbers of the sea. Now, more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. What does that mean? Who is the married wife? The bride. And so more are the children of the not bride, the desolate, than there are of the bride. So anyway, let's go to John, Galatians 4. Verse 21. Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law?
For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid and the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise. Which things are an allegory? For these are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Hagar. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answers to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, Rejoice, thou barren that bearest not, break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For the desolate hath many more children than she which hath a husband. Now, they're saying no wonder Paul got, you know, was he's under a death sentence from the Jews. Because he's saying that everything that they were, the temple standing, they are the children of the bondage. Listen to it. Which things are an allegory? For these are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Hagar. And Hagar was a Jew, was an Egyptian, that, remember, that Abraham married. And answereth to Jerusalem, which now is, as in bondage with her children. But the Jerusalem which is above is free, which is the mother of us all. Call no man on earth father, and call no woman on earth mother. All right, anyway. Now, there are three. The greatest heroes in all of Jewish history that were considered heroes in their contemporary state. There are many heroes, you know, but these were that were considered to be heroes afterward. But the three heroes, first of all, they were just like Elizabeth here. They were barren. Their mother was barren. So these three, then, they were dedicated from birth to the Lord. They were the only three Nazarites from birth, that a razor could not touch their hair. They could not drink wine because they were the wine to be poured out in service. And those three are Samson, Samuel, and John the Baptist. We can't, in our understanding, have any feeling or emphasis to know how big a deal John the Baptist was. Everybody was afraid of him. Because he, except who? Except the one that got off his head, Herod. So anyway, we'll get more into that later. They were well stricken, in years. And it came to pass, every time the phrase "it came to pass" is used in the Bible, it indicates that something momentous is about to happen. If it's for good, it's extremely good. And if it's for evil, it's extreme evil. So when you search the scriptures and you see the words "it came to pass," it's to draw your attention to it. It's big time meaningful. Amen? Well, and we could go on and study all those. And it came to pass when Cain killed Abel. It came to pass when the flood came. It came to pass when the flood was over and the ark rested. And all these issues, it came to pass, it came to pass. Okay, back to Luke. And they know that, and it came to pass in verse 8 that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, we could study all those, but I don't feel like it's just the whole idea that everything that the priest did was carefully proscribed by the Torah. So how they had, and we'll get into this in a minute. And then in verse 9, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. Now, we're going to study the burning incense and what happened and what he did. But I want to concentrate for the rest of the time on this word for temple. There are two words that are used for the temple. One is it's oikos or something like that, and it means the structure, the building itself, the temple. But the word here is naos, and it's used only for, can you close those blinds? It's used only for the holy place and the holy of holies. That's the temple from this, which it says here. And all of the major things that were done in the temple were done in the holy place and in the holy of holies. And in those two places, the holy of holies, you know, the high priest could go only in once a year. No one else could go in. And the priests could only, this particular order of the priesthood are the only ones that could go into the holy place, which is, remember what the holy place had? It was in the holy place, it was not seen. And in the holy place, there was the candlestick, the table of showbread, and the altar of incense. Those are the three that were inside the place that wasn't seen. And then the Holy of Holies, obviously, was the ark and the cherubim and the... But it's critical to understand this word... Temple is used only for the holy place and the holy of holies. Now, the reason that's so important, let's go first to John 2. Verse 13, the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem and found in the temple those that had sold oxen and sheep and doves and changes of money sitting. And that word for temple there is the word that means the entire structure, which concluded the court of the Gentiles, the court of women, the court of Israel, the court of priests, the holy place, blah, 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 blah. Okay? And when he had made his scores of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple, and the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money, and overthrew the tables. And he said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence, and make not my Father's house a house of merchandise. And his disciples remembered that it was written, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, what sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? And Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. This temple, the word for temple there is naos, and he's talking about the holy place and the holy of holies. Okay? Then he goes on and does it again in verse 21. But he spake of the temple of his body.
So this word in 19 is the holy.
Naos. It's the holy of holies and the holy place. That's the part that's covered. That's not where I'm getting at, you can't see it. Okay? And this is critical. Now go to 1 Corinthians 6:19.
verse 9, 6, 9, everybody there? What, know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? Now, that says that all over the place. But the word that your body is only the word for naos. You're not the monster temple, but within you is the holy place and the Holy of Holies. Now, that's what we have to concentrate on. When it says, when you pray, go to your prayer closet, the prayer closet means the innermost room inside the Holy of Holies. That's where you're seated. You can't pray from any other place. And that's... Let's go to the next one. 2 Corinthians. I mean, 2 Thessalonians. Verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Two times the temple is used there is the word naos. And it doesn't apply. All these people that say they're going to go to Jerusalem and rebuild the temple, they've raised something like $8 billion to do it. It's just crazy because this isn't the temple. The temple is your body. And the one that's sitting in the temple as God is you. You are the son of perdition, the man of sin. And until that gets you, until you're gotten by it, just like Jacob, his name, the angel would not let him go until he told him his name. Until you finally become certain that you are 666. The number is written in your forehead because that's how you think. And your right hand has got the mark on it because that signifies what you do. And it's so big that it's universal. But it was fascinating to me that only this word, naos, was used for the temple. And it's the same word that says you are the temple. It's not you are this oikos, the whole big monster temple. Amen? Everybody understand the importance of this? All right. Let's go back to Luke. Verse 9. Oh, wait a minute. Read verse 8. And came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. Now, let me just try to describe this real briefly, what was happening. Every day, I think maybe even twice a day, the priest whose lot it was of the course of Abijah, he had a group of assistants, and they first of all, the bullock had to be slain when its blood on the brazen altar. I think I'm allergic to Jeff. And he had several assistants that were helping him. They had a censer, and they had to go up to walk up the brazen altar, for which burnt offering had just been done. They had to take the coals from that burnt offering, and they added incense that was of a specific kind. It could not be duplicated. It was illegal to try to make it. And they put that into the golden altar, altar of incense, inside the Holy of Holies. But they didn't. He had assistants outside, but only the priest could go into the Holy of the Holy Place. So he's in the Holy Place, and just what normally would happen, there was a large gong that was that got everybody's attention. It was called the Magrapath, or Magrapha, and it summoned all the priests and the Levites to come into this place. It was a huge deal. And they waited, as the president of the ceremony, they waited until he gave the order for Zechariah to put all of this, the coals and the incense, into the golden altar. That's when this angel that we're going to see came and started. Let me just read it. He was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord, and the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of the incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. And the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zechariah, for thy prayer is heard. Thy wife Elizabeth shall bear a son, and thou shalt call him John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and he shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in spirit and in power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And when Zechariah said unto the angel, Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well stricken in years. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, and to show these things, these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. And the people waited for Zechariah and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak unto them. And they perceived that he had seen a vision, for he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. Now, here's what happened. I don't remember what his name is or what he's called, but he was the guy that gave the order, that sounded this gong, and it was the time then to put the incense and the coals into the altar of incense. That, just you probably sounded the gong.
The
gonger. Or the instrument, anyway, I don't know what it was. But he didn't, he was just about to do this, and all of a sudden Gabriel appears and tells them all this stuff. And the people are normally, all the priests and Levites that are in outside waiting, normally they hear the gong. A few seconds later, out comes the priest. Here, for several minutes, he stayed in there. And normally what happened, normally when when signaled, all fell down before the Lord in silence as the clouds of incense went up before Yahweh. And so, what does all this have to do with you? Remember the two sons of Aaron, the second time that they burned the altar of incense, they offered strange fire, because it wasn't from the blood of the burnt offering. And they became post-toasties in a second. Now, the only thing that you've got to see is this holy place, and the Holy of Holies is in you. and to offer something that isn't from the blood, means that you haven't to think about it even. You haven't, you offered strange fire unto the Lord. And this understanding of this mystery right, that we're talking about right now, if you agree you are the temple, and you agree that your thoughts are your prayers, then you've got to understand there has to be an urgency in you to bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Let no thought come upon you that isn't from the blood. And that's huge. No thought that you can possibly have can stand against. You've been perfected by one offering. It is finished. You need nothing. There's no issues. That's faith. And it's typified in what just happened here. Amen? John? Do you see the importance of this? Carolyn? Pete?
Yeah, this could,
as big as it gets.
To that whole scene was with all the crowds standing outside. I had never even seen that, and everybody waiting, and everybody remembered, I'm sure, what happened the first time, or had been taught at least.
What happened with the strange fire? Amen.
And so they wanted him to come out of there. They want him to be burned up. Yeah.
Well, there was a. It wasn't from the law. It was from one of these tales. That just as when the high priest went into the Holy of Holies, if he didn't offer it right, it would be the end of the world. There was all kinds of stories about when the priest went in for the altar of incense, if he didn't do it right. Starting with the post-toasty sons of Aaron, but there were all other things that they said could happen. Now all this is finished, because now he is the temple, and he is your only self. Probably spend a little more time in this. All right? Take a big dive.